Jesus loves him, but the rest of us think he's a putz. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
I'm not sure I could even get through the intro. I'm so... As soon as he hits that axe, I just get tingly. This week's recording artist on live on the Drew Marshall Show right now, 1 hour devoted solely to the art of music, or thereabouts 1 hour. Ken Whiteley, Canadian roots legend. Ken kicks off his 11th annual Sunday Gospel Matinee concert series at Hugh's Room tomorrow, October 27th. I want you to think Soggy Bottom Boys meet Blind Boys of Alabama. You got that in your head?
Blind Boys this summer.
You met him this summer?
I sang.
Listen, I haven't introduced you yet. Back by popular demand, Grammy and Juno Award-winning vocalist Sharon Riley will be joining the gospel matinee. David Wall, and holding down the bottom end will be the incomparable bassist Dennis Penrith. And making their debut appearance on the series are The Laws, an award-winning grassy folk duo from Wheatley, Ontario. KenWhiteley.com is the website. HughesRoom.com is the website. You better jump on those tickets ASAP. This room gets full, but it's a nice, small, intimate room. It is a listening room at Hughes Room. It is the best listening room in the city, as far as I'm concerned. Richard and the gang do a great job over there. Why don't we have a little listen to Mr. Ken Whiteley live here in studio?
I say it now is a needed time. Oh, now is a needed time. Now is a needed. Now is a needed time. Oh, Lord, won't you come by?
Ken Whiteley on the Drew Marshall Show. And it's at the point I would ask the congregation to rise and give up a round of applause.
All right, or at least an amen, somebody.
Or at least something.
Amen.
Buddy, welcome back.
Thank you so much,
welcome
Drew.
Back. You look fantastic. I said that to you a while ago, and I mean it even on air. You look better shape than your guitar.
Well, this guitar is...
National is how old?
National is from 1941, 42. They had to stop making them during the Second World War.
So why?
This was because they needed the
metal.
It's a metal body guitar.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear that's the body of the guitar there. And so they had to stop making they couldn't get the metal, high-quality steel for the guitars because of the war efforts. So,
mm-hmm.
So they stopped making them in early 1942, and this is near the end of the production run, somewhere late 41, 42. And, I've had this guitar now for, I guess, I've only had this particular National for about 15, 16 years. But I have another one that I got in 1974 that's from the 20s. But...
That doesn't get brought out to
it doesn't get taken play. Out. No, In fact, I got this because I wanted a National that I could take around with me. So.
I have heard, and a friend of mine named Tal Backman has told me, confirmed this, that Daddy Backman, Randy, has maybe the most ridiculous collection of guitars of anybody in Canada, at least.
Is that right? Well, you know.
And I'm just wondering if we
can... At least he's put his fame and fortune to good use. You know, what can I say?
You need to do... you know, he does that show on CBC, Randy's Vinyl Tap. You need to do Root Tap.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Set it up. I'll be there.
Would you do a show like that once a week on CBC, Root Tap?
I don't know if I could. Randy Backman's been running for a while, so I'm not quite sure if I'd have the longevity that
there's
he has.
Nobody
it's,
else.
It's a fun show.
Come on, there's
a,
nobody else in Canada that
I'd
is.
I'd be happy to do a radio show. I've thought about it at times in my life, but it's a door that hasn't opened. But that's all right. That's
in your world of folk and roots. Did I say it right?
Yeah, folk and roots.
Okay, in your world.
Yes.
Who do you worship?
Who do I worship?
I know.
The Lord.
Easy. But no, from a musical, you know, who do you?
Well,
sort of go,
I'm
wow.
very. I mean, I'm very careful not, you know, to use that term about other human beings because you know we all have our shortcomings. But there are, of course, a lot of incredible human beings on this planet, and there's a lot that I owe a lot of personal.
If this
debt
person,
to.
If they walked into the room right now, who would be the one person in your musical world that you would go, wow?
Well, the name that's coming to mind right now is a woman named Bessie Jones that I got to sing with when she was 89 and I was 28. And she's from the Georgia Sea Islands. And she is a woman who just radiated love. And she had such a she had consciously collected and preserved and passed on the culture of where she was from, which is what they call the Gullah Geechee culture of the low country. Those islands off of South Carolina and Georgia and the low country that's right by the water there. And it's some of the oldest African-American forms were preserved there. And she's one of the people who passed on a lot of that information. But as I say, for me personally, like, actually seeing her sing, you know, over a 12-year period from a teenager into my 20s, and then getting to actually perform with
tremendous.
Her was tremendous. So a tremendous thing. And so in 1979, she said, oh, you've got to come down to the Georgia Sea Islands. They'd love you down there. And, you know, so I just got back from the Georgia Sea Islands. One week ago, I was on Sapelo Island.
Oh, you mean just now?
Just now.
So
a week ago, I was on Sapelo Island for their Cultural Heritage Day festival, and that was just an incredible experience. But, you know, so Bessie Jones is long past, but there are still some people carrying on some of those old traditions. But she had she had something special beyond just this incredible culture that she was a wonderful representative of. But she had that depth, like that life, her life, and through all the adversity and all the suffering that she'd had to experience in the course of her life, she just radiated that love, and she accepted people, you know, it didn't matter who you were, you know, and she sang for Jimmy Carter when he was president, or she sang for, you know, Or just, you know, somebody back home in their little cabin.
Would she even sing for George Bush? Would she do that?
I couldn't answer that, Drew. But I think even, you know, you have to accept that, you know, for all his failings, what we might perceive as failings,
sure,
as a president,
yeah,
he's still a human being,
he
can still...
And I guarantee you, he has screwed up less than I have. Guarantee you. Now, listen, having just been down in the island area there you're talking about.
Yeah.
If I was walking down the street,
yes,
and let's say there were some couple of guys jamming or there's some music going, what would I hear? Give me an example of some stuff that I might hear coming from that neck of the woods.
Well, what you'd hear now would not be the old traditional music.
No, but
by
transport
large.
Us back.
Well, but throw me anywhere, Lord. In that old field, don't care where you throw me, in that old field. Let King Jesus meet me, in that old field. Don't care where you throw me, in that old field. Throw me anywhere, Lord, in that old field. Throw me anywhere, Lord, in that old field. They do this syncopated hand clapping stuff, you know, with that. I kind of gave you a little taste of it.
Yeah.
And I learned some of that, you know, while I was down there. There's a group called the McIntosh County Shouters that still do the old stuff. And young guy, about 27, 28, the most incredible dancer I've ever seen. And his grandparents were in the McIntosh County Shouters when the group started. And now he's still carrying on. Great singer. That was a wonderful experience to see those guys.
Ken, would you please do us another song and do us a wee favor and set this song up for us, as they say?
Sure. Well, I'll sing a song that this is one that on Sunday I sang at the First African Baptist Church on St. Simon's Island. And the first on the Sunday before that, I was at the First African Baptist in Savannah, which let me just figure out how to put the. Yeah,
right.
It's good. It's made of metal. It'll handle it. And I only had one song, so if I'd had two songs, I would have sung something from down there that I've kind of adapted and arranged, but I felt that was little. I actually used the expression "taking coals to Newcastle," so
okay.
I figured I didn't really need to sing something from the Georgia Sea Islands so I thought I'd sing one of my own songs. And but this is one that I wrote when I was in Jacksonville, Florida, which is not that far. They say that the Gullah Geechee Corridor stretches from Wilmington, North Carolina, down to Jacksonville. So it's called Let My Life Be Prayer. Let my life be prayer. Oh, let my life be prayer. Oh, let my life be prayer. From the moment that I wake up till I go to sleep at night, I offer up my work and words, bring them to the light. Let me feel the power to which we are united, and let my life be prayer. Let my life. This song that I'm singing, I offer it to you. The thoughts that I'm thinking, may they express anew.
You are the inspiration, Lord, of everything I do. Oh, let my life be prayer. Let it be prayer. Let my life be prayer. Oh, let my life be prayer. Oh, let my life be prayer. And surely you will see me. From the moment that I wake up till I go to sleep at night, I offer up my work and words and bring them to the light. Let me feel the power to which we all unite, and let my life be prayer. Let my life be prayer. My life be prayer. Oh, let my life be prayer. Surely you will see me. Surely you will. Oh, surely you will see me. Surely you will see me through.
Legendary Ken Whiteley here on the Drew Marshall Show. That song I was singing 5 days ago in the French Alps.
You were in the French Alps?
Yeah, just hit me. That song in particular sneaks out of my subconscious at the weirdest moments.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing, yeah.
Okay.
The kind of impact that you have... You know, you're Canadian, so you don't like this conversation.
How do you know?
I know you enough. You're leaving. I'm saying this like you're dying or something, but you're leaving quite a legacy. You really are. And I'm going to stumble through this because I don't know. I'm trying to give you praise, but I don't want to do this in an awkward, typical kind of way, Ken. But
well, I appreciate that you're saying, you know, that I'm leaving a legacy, and certainly I think that's what we all hope to do in some way. If you're trying to, you know, that we have responsibilities on this planet, and I feel like I've been given certain gifts, and I feel so lucky to have music and had the opportunities I've had, and at the same time, you know, you see people who have achieved levels of fame and notoriety and stuff like that, and you think, wow, wouldn't it have been nice to have had a larger venue, a larger, you know, being able to reach more people? But you can't worry about that. I at least have enough intellectual perspective, at least, to know that you can't worry about that, and you do what you do, and you do the best you can.
But,
and
dude, I was in the French Alps, and your song popped out of my head. Like,
well,
that's
an
weird.
Honor. I'm glad that happened.
But don't you think that, like, I'm sure that when somebody else is walking around the French Alps, they're not thinking about something I've said on my show.
Well, you don't know, though, Drew. I mean, you're here every week, and you're challenging people, and you're inspiring people, and you're engaging people in interesting intellectual discussions, and trying to get to the heart of stuff.
Well,
and,
don't turn this around on me, man.
That's why I enjoy coming here, because it's always, you know, don't stand still. You know, you keep trying to move forward and keep on pushing. Can't turn back. You know, so
Livingston Taylor, I had him on the show a number of years ago, James Taylor's brother
yeah.
And he's an artist in residence at Berkeley. And he has a huge interest in the black gospel music thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if I use the right words there or not.
Right.
But when gospel, that word brings different connotations for different people. You know,
sure.
a different imagery for different people.
Sure. And there's different time frames in which, you know, you could look at that. So
is there such a thing as white gospel?
Oh, yeah, sure there is. And there's bluegrass gospel. You know, when we were driving down to Georgia and South Carolina, you know, like you see these cowboy churches and, you know, Tuesday evening, you know, gospel sing and cowboy church and, you know, the come for the barbecue at 6 and church service at 7 and
Indigestion at eight,
whatever, yeah. But for sure, there's white gospel and you know you hear the bluegrass gospel and you know all those groups like the Stamps and you know the, and on and on and on that do that kind of stuff and then black gospel music grew out of the spirituals, and really it was Thomas A. Dorsey in the late 20s who. You know, the guy who wrote Precious Lord, Take My Hand. And he began incorporating some of, you know, what he had been doing in the blues and jazz field into the spirituals music. And he was one of the first people that began doing interdenominational stuff, getting together choirs, you know, not just the Baptists or the Church of God or whatever. You know, like, let's all get together, you know.
A little ecumenism.
And teaching them his songs and spreading his songs and then pitching his songs to different recording artists. And that really changed the way, you know, African-American gospel music was and spiritual music was presented, you know, because he combined. I mean, he in 1927, he had a number one hit with a blues song called Tight Like That. You know, yeah. Tight Like That. Tied Like That, you know,
just bust that out, yeah.
Yeah, so he, you know, he had this, he and a guy named Tampa Red, you know, were a duo. But then when he had this kind of cataclysmic life event where he was coming back to Chicago from a gig and someone met him at the train station and told him that his wife had died in childbirth. And you know, it's just like, you know, rocks your world. And then, you know, and then what do you do? And so that's when he went back to his faith and then he wrote Precious Lord, Take My Hand. And maybe I should sing a little.
Well, why don't you?
And, you know, so later on, you know, this was before Mahalia Jackson, but there's a woman in Chicago, Sally Martin, who recorded a bunch of his songs. And then, you know, in the 40s, like the Dixie Hummingbirds began recording his stuff. And then out of that East Coast, you know, the quartet singing and stuff like that, like they began incorporating these gospel songs as opposed to the old spirituals. And, you know, so they brought that to it. And but and I think it's appropriate, you know, Tampa Red, his old blues partner, played a national guitar like this.
Precious Lord, take my hand and lead me on.
On the Drew Marshall Show, Mr. Ken Whiteley. We're going to take a real short break and come back a little
more. This may be the last time. This may be the last time. Oh, it may be the last time. I don't know. Maybe the last time we sang together.
It may be the last time. I don't know.
Well, it may be the last time we sang together.
Maybe.
Now, some of you might recognize that voice. Ladies and gentlemen, singing in the background, Ken Whiteley.
Singing in the foreground, Bessie Jones.
Singing in the foreground, Bessie Jones. Yeah, well,
so.
Well said. Well said. Of all of the great gospel from that era singers,
yeah,
who would you have liked to have met that you didn't get
like
a chance?
To have met?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. Because, you know, you can appreciate some people's artistry. You know, like Sam Cooke, for example,
yeah.
Incredible artist,
yeah.
Incredible singer. You know, the gospel song. You know, he wrote Touch the Hem of His Garment on the back of an envelope on the way to the studio, you know, in 10 minutes. You know, he was so talented, and yet he was kind of a messed up guy.
Yeah.
You know, so do I really – maybe I'd rather not have met him.
True.
You know,
true.
So it's kind of you know, that's an interesting question. What, you know, who would you like to have met? Of the great gospel artists, I would have loved to have met Mahalia Jackson.
Uh-huh.
That would have been pretty nice,
uh-huh.
I think.
Have you met Mavis Staples yet?
I haven't actually met her,
no.
Have you ever had her on the show?
It's coming up. We've been going back and forth.
Right.
Mavis has played Rose Theater in Brampton a couple times. And,
right.
Yeah, and
I've certainly seen them. I mean, actually, the Staple Singers were the first African-American gospel group that I ever actually saw at the Mariposa Folk Festival in 1965.
Wow.
They were there. And they just were dynamite. I mean, I was 14, and I was just like, you know, they were so good. And they were really hot then.
So this has been a thing in your veins for quite a while.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Do you think was there any hope of you doing something else, being something else?
Well, actually after high school, I went to the Toronto Teachers College. It was the last year you could go right from high school, do a year of Teachers College, and I taught school for 4 months and then I retired. And I've been a professional musician ever since. I mean, I was making my living as a, you know, and supplementing.
You've been able to make a living in the music industry for how many years?
Well,
in the Canadian music industry for how many years?
41 years.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's why no one else can make any money. You're taking it all.
I wouldn't put it that way.
No.
I wrote a letter actually a few years ago when Harper was talking about these, you know, fat artists who, you know, going to these galas and all this sort of stuff and taking advantage of the taxpayer. And I wrote a little article or a letter that was printed in the Globe and Mail saying, you know, I make, you know, close to the, I didn't actually say that I made slightly under the, you know, my net income was slightly under the average for most artists in Canada, which is $23,000 a year. And, of course, I, you know, 6 months later, I got a letter from Revenue Canada saying I was being audited again, you know.
So. You are kidding me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. What do you think about Mr. Ford going down to Austin and wanting to make Toronto the Austin of the North? Do you know anything about that stuff?
That probably happened while I was away.
It did happen while you were away, yep. And yep. I'd love to have you on that committee, although committees would just put a bullet in my head, but yeah.
And a committee that was chaired by people appointed by Rob Ford? I don't think so. I'm not sure about that. But,
yeah.
You know, whatever.
Wouldn't it be great for Toronto to be like the Austin North? You know,
well, I think
music capital.
Toronto certainly it is, and I, you know, I mean, give the guy credit, I guess, if he recognizes that artistic engine is significant for the city in a lot of ways, both economically, but more importantly, to people's spirits and souls, and you know, because that is such a big part of the city, and you know, Toronto has. It's the fourth largest recording center in North America. It's one of the four top recording centers in North America, with L.A., New York,
Nashville.
And Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's now ahead of Chicago. It used to be one of the top five, but there's now more recording activity in Toronto than there is in Chicago.
How about another song?
Sure. Sure.
Would you happen to have another song that you'd?
I would. I'm not sure what. Would I happen to have any other songs? I know. I don't.
Loving the slide, by the way.
I'm kind of in the slide mode here.
And I'm kicking myself. I didn't bring the harp. Like.
Yeah. I was wondering if you were going to bring your harp. Maybe I'll do a. You're talking about the Staple Singers.
Just do that again. Just do that again. If I could do that, I'd never leave the house.
We're talking about the Staple Singers. And last year, you graciously had me on to promote my Christmas album.
Yes, which was a knockout. Knockout.
And I'm going to be doing some Christmas shows, actually, with Jacob Moon, who
nice.
You first put me together with.
Yes.
And my brother Chris and his wife Diana Braithwaite. So we're going to do some Christmas shows together.
Fantastic.
So that'll be
fantastic.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But, well, I haven't played this since last Christmas, so I gotta. Tell me, when was Jesus born? Was the last month of the year? Oh, tell me, when was Jesus born? Yeah. Oh, when was Jesus born? It was the last month of the year. You got January, February, March, April, or May, June, July, August, September, October, November, 20, the 25th day of December. It was the last month of the year. It was the last month of the year. He was born in a Nazi. It was the last month of the year. He was born in a Nazi stable. It was the last month of the year. Born in a Nazi stable. It was the last month of the year. You got January, February, March, April, or May, June, July, August, September, October, November. It was the 25th day of December. It was the last month of the year. It was the last month of the year. You got January, February, March, April, or May, August, September, October, November. It was the 25th day of December. It was the last month of the year. It was the last month of the year. It was the last month of the year.
You're a freak. You are such a freak. That's a nice thing to say. I'm just, I don't want people getting confused or anything, but I just admire you. I wish you were a relative. We could hang out at family functions or something like that.
Yeah, well.
Kind of crazy. Would you say that that you are happy?
Most of the time. Not all the time. But I try and, it's there's another song from the Georgia Sea Islands that says, "It's another day's journey, and I'm so glad." I feel.
Are you ready to die?
If I'm called to go, that's.
How's that feel? How's it like?
I would say,
death, what do you think about?
I'm not afraid of death.
You're not freaked out by that, or
not at all. No, I.
It's kind of a weird question. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. I feel that we're. That I'm a child of God, and if I die, that I don't have a definite conception of what's going to happen, but I feel that you know, they say, the scientists say, you know, energy isn't created or destroyed, it changes form. So I expect to change form, but I don't, and I don't know what, I couldn't tell you exactly what the new form is going to be, but I think that my soul is going to live on, and it's part of, you know, created by the Creator, and it's in His hands, and I feel okay about that.
Last time I heard that song was on a track CD Blind Boys of Alabama did, and you had just said a little while ago that...
I got to sing with them this summer. That was really fun. I was out at the Winnipeg Folk Festival with Amoy and Cecile Levy, my good friends, the Levy sisters. And
love them.
Yes, me too. And so they did a bunch of festivals with me this summer. And,
good.
And I was hosting the gospel workshop at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. So we had about, I don't know, 2,500 people out there. And there was David Lindley was playing guitar. Blind Boys of Alabama were on it. And I, you know, you're never sure, you know, these kind of musical legends, sometimes they're kind of, it's a bit of a wall. And I'd actually opened for them before at the Toronto Jazz Festival, but they were really nice.
When was that?
In 2005. They were really nice. Jimmy Carter's the only one of the original five blind boys. But
Mr. Sustain.
Yeah, the guy who can hold the note for 2.5 minutes. There's a couple of them. Then there's another guy that's been with the group for a long time. But you know what's incredible is, okay, so there's the three that walk out, you know, with the sunglasses holding the and the guitar player sings and the bass player sings, you know, but they still have the same sound. It's quite incredible.
I like the new big guy that's with them now, the big heavy fella. I've forgotten his name. He was with them and then wasn't, and now he's back again. Now, of the group, I know Ricky McKinley the best, the drummer.
Okay, yes, is great. And he's come up and done some stuff with some people in Southern Ontario.
Oh, has he? Okay.
Well, it was really funny because... he played drums with us.
Yeah.
And he was...
Like I said, McKinley. Sorry, McKinney. Ricky McKinney. Yes.
And after the whole thing was over, then he and Amoy start talking. And the next thing you know, it turns out he's flying to Toronto after this gig. You know, because he's producing an album by a friend of Amoy's. So there you go.
Great guys.
Small world.
See, the first time I met them, I was thinking it was the same festival. We've got to get you to do one more song before we go, but it was the same festival. I'm pretty sure, 2005. Does that sound about right? What is that, 8? Yeah, be around then. And I stayed at the Sheraton, and I went to – I had a little chat with Clarence. Great conversation. Just a warm,
Clarence
warm,
Fountain. The original lead singer of the Blind Boys, yeah.
Beautiful, warm, in-depth, relaxed conversation with him. And enjoyed the concert, transported at that concert. First time ever I've been transported to a concert. Went to check out anyway the next day, and they said, sir, your room's been taken care of. I said, what do you mean my room's been taken? Oh, somebody else has paid. Somebody paid for my room? Yes, it's been taken. Well, who paid for my room? Well, they'd rather not know. And they kind of looked over, and there was the whole gang was there, the Blind Boys of Alabama. I said, you let the Blind Boys of Alabama pay for my room? They're blind. It was a mistake. Are you? Come on, man.
Well, it was kind of nice because I've got this song that references them.
Oh yeah.
And you know, where I talk about, you know, some of these people who've inspired me and the after the song is over, they're going like, Jimmy Carter goes, gospel music makes me feel all right. And he's, you know, he's riffing on my song.
Nice. All right, well, we're going to go out with Ken Whiteley doing one last song here, folks. Canadian roots legend Ken Whiteley. Of course, he kicks off his 11th annual Sunday Gospel Matinee Concert Series at Hughes Room tomorrow, October 27th. Again, I want you to think Soggy Bottom Boys meets Blind Boys of Alabama. And backed by popular demand, a Grammy and Juno Award-winning vocalist, Sharon Riley. See, he has a bunch of people come with him. You need to understand this. Not just Ken, it's Ken and a whole bunch of talent. Other talent. I don't know if I said that right. Sharon Riley, David Wall, and holding down the bottom end will be the incomparable bassist Dennis Pendrith, making their debut appearance in the series, The Laws, an award-winning grassy folk duo from Wheatley, Ontario. HughesRoom.com, HughesRoom.com, no apostrophe, don't be silly, HughesRoom.com. Ladies and gentlemen, to finish off this week's live on the Drew Marshall Show, devoted solely to the art of music, Ken Whiteley.
Well, I love to hear that old-time gospel singing, and I love to be there when the people pray. You know there's something about that old-time gospel singing when people join in that old-time way. And I'll be there, yes, I'll be there in the morning, and I'll be there, yes, I will, in the night. 'Cause you know there's something about that old-time gospel singing. It makes me feel all right. Make me feel all right. Feel all right. Well, it's something that makes me feel all right. Make you feel all right. Feel all right. Music makes me feel all right. Well, I'll be there when they sing Amazing Grace. Thomas A. Dorsey, he said, precious Lord.
I won't do a Jimmy Carter on you. I'll stop now.
Please take my hand. Oh, and I thrilled to hear the great Mahalia Jackson and Dorothy Love Coates and Sister Rosetta Tharpe and Bessie Jones and Bessie Griffin and all the great women of gospel music, yes, and Sam Cooke and the Soul Stirrers and the Blind Boys and the Pilgrim Travelers and the Golden Gate Quartet and the Dixie Hummingbirds and the Harmonizing Four. They were my men. And I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there on the Drew Marshall Show. And I'll be there, yes, I will, tomorrow at Hughes Room. But if there's something, oh, there's something, people, you know, day or night, morning or evening, that can take away your gloom, you know, it makes me feel all right. Makes me feel all right.
Feel all right.
Feel all right. Feel all right. And if something makes me feel feel all right, gospel music makes me feel.